That's Bob Corritore from his album Taboo, and you're listening to GLT's Talkin' Blues. Bob's a harmonica man, but he's also a band leader, a songwriter, he's a radio host, he's a club owner, and he's just a general ambassador for the blues. And Bob, welcome to GLT's Talkin' Blues. It's nice to have you on, Bob.
John, thank you so much for having me.
Now, I just played a song from Taboo, your album from a couple of years ago, and I want to talk about that more in just a little bit. But let's go back to the beginning. You grew up in Chicago, and you've talked about how you heard blues on the radio, and it was almost like the first time you heard blues, it was sort of an aha moment for you. Would that be an accurate statement?
Absolutely. I heard Muddy Waters in the song Rolling Stone on a rock radio station. For the obvious reason, that's the song that the Rolling Stones named themselves after. But once I heard that, I heard everything that I loved about music condensed in that song. It was so perfect. It had all the raw guts and emotion. At the same time, it had a coolness and a toughness to it. From that moment on, Muddy Waters was my North Star.
Well, I wish I was a catfish swimming in a deep blue sea. I would have all you good looking women fishing after me, showing up after me, showing up after me. Oh love, oh love, showing up.
Was it something that you were thinking at that time, even, man, I got to be around this music, or I've got to be a part of this music? Or?
Well, I knew that I was headed in a direction of learning more about that music, and what would follow I could have never even dreamed of. So I've been able to, you know, live out so many dreams and play with some of the artists that I listened to before I would ever even dream of meeting them. And next thing you know, I'm cutting records with some of my favorite artists. I used to listen to Jimmy Rogers' Chicago Bound record. I dream about that record going to sleep. Years later, I would do a couple tours with Jimmy Rogers. We'd become good friends. I'd take him in the studio twice. Something like that is what dreams are made of.
Just before I was born, I got a boy child coming, gonna be.
Our guest is Bob Corritore. Boy, he's got a number of albums out. The most recent release now is with the great Henry Gray. It's called Sessions Volume 1. It's some of the work you've done with Henry over the years. Next, I'd like to play a song from this album. Let's just do the very first track, Let's Get High. Could you talk a little bit about this song before we get into it?
Henry recorded this song in the 1950s, and it came out on a couple reissues. But it was from a session where Morris Pigeot, who was a partner of Henry Gray's, he was a guitar player and singer, he shared half the songs. So it mistakenly, and for years, was credited as Morris Pigeot's song. I knew it was Henry when I heard it. I'm like, that's you, Henry, isn't it? He goes, yep. And so we recreated that song in the studio and captured a lot of the feel of the original one. Just a rowdy party tune, and you know, Henry's just having a blast with it. Willie Big Eye Smith and Bob Strozier are in the background shouting out answers to what Henry's singing. And, you know, it's just kind of just one of those fun, primal party blues numbers.
With Henry Gray on piano and vocals, and Bob Corritore here is our guest on GLT's Talkin' Blues from the Sessions Volume 1 album, it's Let's Get High.
I feel alright. We're gonna have some fun tonight. I've been drinking again. I've been drinking gin. We're gonna have some fun tonight.
having fun today. Yes, we'll have a little fun today, baby. Hard tonight, huh?
That's Henry Gray and our guest Bob Corritore here on GLT's Talkin' Blues. When you were going into those clubs as a young guy, and you would hang out at Teresa's, that legendary club where Junior Wells used to hold court, could you talk about what it was like to be in that scene, probably, what, the 1970s in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, when I was in high school, you could see some of the blues around there being underage. I mean, Blind Jim Brewer played at a pizza place not too far away from my house. Muddy Waters actually played in my high school gymnasium. We got to see Otis Rush at a nearby college in my community. There was the Hound Dog Taylor. There was a live recording session that actually became part of an album that I was at that was at Northwestern University. You could go to Maxwell Street and see Big Walter Horton. There's things that were pretty unbelievable. And you could also go to some of the concerts. You go to a rock concert and they'd have Big Walter Horton and Carrie Bell opening up for John Mayall. And you go, no kidding. So these were some things that were very powerful, and they were all around. I remember my first impression of all that, going into a club and going, you know, this was far away from home for me. I lived in the safe suburb of Wilmette, Illinois, and all of a sudden I'm on the west side, and there's people hanging out on the street corners with their half pints, and it's a different economic class of people. The
sure.
people were, there's, you know, a lot of poverty in some of the areas, but yeah, I'd walk into this club, the 1815 club, see the Howlin' Wolf, and there's a gravel parking lot that probably had equal parts gravel and broken glass. But as soon as I came in, I found an amazing kindness and acceptance among that particular community. I mean, people are like, hey, how you doing? Let me buy you a beer. You go up and you meet Hubert Sumlin, meet the Howlin' Wolf, hang out with the band. Everybody was just so kind and welcoming. And I go, you know, this isn't how I might have pictured it in the tough west side of Chicago. Because there's just, you know, people are people. Everybody has a basic kindness and a great human spirit. That was was an amazing lesson that I learned, and that was the cool thing about the blues, because it didn't matter if it was Muddy Waters or Howlin' Wolf or Hubert Sutherland, they weren't on a pedestal. They were real people, and they were people that had, you know, an air of leadership and dignity about them, but at the same time, they're real people, and they were happy to greet you, and some would get to know me by my first name and become friends, and it was really a fantastic thing to interact with the true blues guys. You know, I became friends with Lewis Myers, Little Walter's old guitar player. He would share all these stories. At first, I thought I was just that pesky little kid that was asking too many questions, but after years of that, I realized I had developed a really wonderful friendship with the man, and I'm so proud of that.
Fifteen Wes Roosevelt from the album Harmonica Blues by our guest Bob Corritore. He's playing harmonica and his friend and one-time Howlin' Wolf sideman Eddie Shaw on saxophone. You're listening to GLT's Talkin' Blues. I'm John Norton. Bob, how did you start playing harmonica?
My brother had a harmonica and actually showed me a couple of the preliminaries, how to bend a note, and it seemed to kind of come natural to me. And so I said, "You're pretty good at that. Here, I'm just going to give that to you." And I was, I think, 13 when he gave that to me, and I just played every day since. And I lost a lot of friends in high school, my first years of doing that. I'd play in the back of the bus, wad up their, you know, paper and throw it at me and stuff. But it didn't deter me. I kept going. I had a wonderful group of friends that liked to jam, and we would, you know, develop ourselves through all of that. Meanwhile, of course, I'm hearing the blues on the radio. I'm staying in Saturday nights to hear the blues on WNUR. I'm Northwestern University. I'm buying blues records in the stores. I'm just loving it. And here I am in high school. Back then, you know, we'd have a cassette player. I made my own mixtape of, like, Big Walter Horton and Muddy Waters and Jimmy Rogers stuff. And I'm blasting that through the hallways of my high school. And people are looking at me like, "What the hell is he playing?" And I'm going, "This is the coolest stuff right here."
I told you a while back I wanted to get back to your Taboo album. It's one with just your name on the title, because you do so much collaboration with other artists, and this one is, it's just your name on the top. And, you know, you have some different colors and flavors on this album that I really haven't heard on some of your collaborations. Am I hearing that the way you maybe imagined it?
Yeah, Taboo is an album of harmonica instrumentals. That right there might scare you off, because you're thinking, well, do we want to hear one long harmonica solo? But I've always loved the art of an instrumental. Little Walter, of course, was so artful, and each of his instrumentals seemed to say something completely different. But now, beyond that, you look at some of the great instrumental sounds of some of the great sax players, some of the organ trios, some of the great sounds that you would hear that would be instrumental. And each of those have a groove, a mood, and a melody that is uniquely within that song. And there's a certain catchiness to each one of those. And it was that art of an instrumental that I was trying to capture in all of this. And so I took the blues, because it's really a blues record, but it takes you to some exotic places. It takes you to some things that you wouldn't expect to hear from somebody who's used to the legacy of the recordings I've played on, because I play a lot of straight-ahead down-home blues releases, and there's some of that on here.
Right.
But then there's songs like Taboo, which is a very exotic mood song. It was recorded in Cuba in the 1940s for the first time. It has a very bluesy side to it, but it also has this very exotic thing that goes on. And there were a number of things like that almost seemed like they could have been a soundtrack for a detective movie.
I want to talk about a couple of the tracks and get to another point on the album itself, but one of the songs that you and Junior did, Many a Devil's Night, it's just such a neat, neat instrumental. Could you talk a little bit about that song? Because that's a song that's got some different flavors, some different colors, almost some sinister sound to it that maybe you were describing earlier, too.
Yeah, that song, I always wanted to record like a real cool, true minor slow blues, because within the minor, you can explore certain scales and sounds that would not be part of what people would normally play on harmonica. So, within all of that, I actually am playing three harmonicas on that song, switching off. I'm playing a chromatic harmonica, I'm playing a third position harmonica, and I'm playing on that particular one what is known as fourth position. Each of those things led to a kind of beautiful passage, and one kind of led to the other, so it's kind of worked out. And then on top of that, you've got Junior Watson, who leads off the song and co-wrote that with me, and then he just kills on his solo, and then Fred Kaplan does just the most gorgeous piano solo ever.
Thank you.
Devil's Night. It's from the album Taboo. It's our guest, Bob Corator, with his good friend, Junior Watson, on guitar. And this is GLT's Talkin' Blues. Well, we talked a lot about Chicago. That's where you grew up. That's where you got to meet all these, what we consider to be legends now. But at a relatively young age, I think, you ended up moving to Phoenix. And you have your own club out there. You've got a radio show on K-Jazz. What were you finding out there, blues-wise? Was it a pretty good scene that just people didn't know about, or is it something that, you know, you got out there and went, man, there's a lot of potential here, but people don't really maybe know a whole lot about it?
Well, there really is a good scene in Phoenix, and I came in and I met people like Bill Tarsha and Big Pete Pearson and Chief Shibute Gilliame and a number of other great players. I really just came out to Phoenix to spend a year with my brother. I didn't plan on staying. I thought, okay, I want to get away from the winters in Chicago and spend a year of my life in Phoenix and see what that's like. Well, after just a couple months, I get a phone call from a friend of mine in Chicago who was living in Chicago at the time by the name of Louisiana Red. Now, Red's not primarily a Chicago blues guy, but at that point in time, he was living in Chicago. And Chicago probably wasn't treating him all that well. But he contacted me. I go, Red, how'd you get this number? He said, well, I called your number, and they gave me this forwarding number. So where are you at, Bobby? And I said, well, I'm in Phoenix. He says, well, I know a woman out there. I wanted to come visit her. I said, well, if you do, let's get some gigs. So next thing you know, a couple weeks later, Red is in Phoenix, Arizona. And he's there, you know, wanting to work some gigs with me and court this woman. Well, after about a week and a half, that it didn't work out too well with that woman. She calls me up and says, better come pick Red up. I just threw him out. And so at age 25, all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I found myself responsible for another human being. And Red and I lived together and hung together and played music every day together, and it was a beautiful thing. And we worked, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, and that got me established as a musician in this town.
Well, Bob Corator, I feel like we could talk forever and ever. Well, it's great to get to talk to you a little bit, play some of your music, and get to know a little bit about why you are the way you are. It's nice to talk to you, Bob.
Well, thanks, John. I really appreciate your taking the time to interview me, and I hope I did okay for you.
Well, let's finish this Talkin' Blues segment with another song from the Harmonica Blues album. It's our guest, Bob Corator, with his good friend, Louisiana Red.
Hey, man. You know what? I had a bad experience one time. Well, I took all my money I worked in the steel mill for, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you. You got to tell me about it. You know, I gave a woman all my money. She went down with her man. I'm going to tell you, people, I can't stand. Tell me about it. Wow, tell me about it. How that woman looked me. Say, I'm going back to my mama. Don't you call me at all. I got a brand new man. I don't love you at all. Tell me about it. Well, tell me about it. Well, I'm gonna tell you, people. Please tell me about it. She put a stocking and took one of my shoes. Left me with nothing but the devil's shoestring and high John did too. Tell me about it. Oh, tell me about it. left my home and left, man. Wouldn't even feed my cat and dog. They was hungry for days. Had me like a bump on the log. Everybody! How that woman treated me.